So how did you get involved with the Pleiadians?
I got involved with them in 71. And the way I got involved with them, I was studying with a Rajput prince. A Rajput prince, if you study Alice Bailey and Madame Blavatsky, there was these guys called Rajput princes, and they would come to America from India, and they have a diplomatic pass, and they could shoot somebody, they would deport it. I mean, a real Rajput, identified by our government as such.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had one of them as a teacher, and he began to teach me about friendly extraterrestrials, and primarily a group called the Rishis. And the Rishis were the teachers of the Brahmins, and in Tibet, the Sanskrit language is about 26,000-28,000 years old. It was brought here from the Pleiades by a group called the Rishis, along with sound instruments that activated chakras, which we would classify one of those as a sitar. A sitar would be one of those wave mechanisms.
Right.
Yeah. So that activates consciousness. So I kind of got primed for it. And so what happened was, I set up a meditation group, and I used to teach Kundalini yoga when I was younger in another house over here in Laguna. Well, what happened was, I had this group set up, and the whole group started having the same image of this Pleiadian thing. We didn't know it was a Pleiadian thing. We just saw a female in some kind of a saucer. And then one night in 71, it was in the spring, it was like April, the spaceship came down, was hovering behind my house in Laguna Beach on Nestal Road, 2096, I forget the address. And it's really strange, too, because that particular street, Nestal Road, back in the 30s, when Laguna was like dirt roads up here, George Adamski lived on that same hill.
No, that's coincidental, but there are no coincidences.
Yeah, exactly, no kidding. I mean, so, within 300 feet where I lived on, I think it was 3096 Nestal Road, was a previous house where he lived. You know, my neighborhood, of course, built up.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ship came, and there she was. You know, she was hovering out there, and the door opened, and I saw her, and then we had a telepathic communication, and she said she'd be back later, and they couldn't be there now because the dogs are barking all over the damn place, and porch lights are going on, and 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was really funny because half the meditation group that I was with, I said there's something going to go on in the backyard. Because there's a big backyard with a big cliff and thousands of acres behind that, but we're up 1,000 feet above everything, so you look down across the hillsides and valleys. Of course, now it's not like that, but then it was wide open. This is 1971 in Laguna Beach. Now it's like huge down here with population. And so that's how it started, you know, and then the contacts went on, and at that time, I hadn't even started Paradigm yet. I was still had just left NASA, as a matter of fact, and this was like spacing me out, like, what is this? And then when I started Paradigm, I started traveling around the country in a motorhome, and I had these contacts all in the deserts. I had one up at near Roswell where I was given. They started giving me designs of things. I didn't really know what I was getting, but you know, they gave me the design for a device we make called an irradiator, and we built one of those things, and we had it tested by psychics and dowsers, and they said this does this and this. And I said thank you, because I didn't know what I was doing at the beginning. I know now. But because, you know, it's many years of experience. The company's 29 years old.
Have I seen an old picture of you with one of these devices aiming it up into the heavens? Was that you?
Probably. You know, we made a thing called a Firestar, and Eric Von Daniken used to take those things down to Mallorca, the island down there, and have do contact sessions. And yeah, there's so much. We developed so many things that went everywhere, all over the world, you know. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, gosh, when the KGB, well, one of my friends from the One World Family, Joseph Amatry, went on Radio Moscow back when the Cold War, you know, war was up. This is 1978, wearing one of my power domes, which is a pyramid you wear on your head made out of titanium.
You wear a pyramid on your head?
Yeah. Yeah, I had those. Haven't you ever seen them? I invented them back in the mid-70s.
Actually, I had a friend of mine who would wear one to school.
Yeah. We had them all over the world. Well, we had them tested. I mean, you can do all kinds of tests, physical tests, and you can see all kinds of changes in the human body. They detoxify the brain. I've got testimonies from the Orchid Union school system up in San Luis Obispo. This one kid, Stan Alms, had grand mal seizures. He started wearing the pyramid, doesn't get them anymore because the pyramid allows your body to heal because there's an obstruction. He was taking lithium like they always give him on grand mal seizures, and we put the pyramid on. No more grand mal seizures.
Well, what is it about the pyramid shape that does that, Fred?
Well, that's shape energy. Hello, that's where we started, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
If you were to take and rub your hands together really fast in front of me, just like you're going to clap your hands, but mm-hmm. just rub them, and then you pull them apart, you'll feel like an energy between them, right? And if you were to take a pyramid after you rub your hands together and pull them apart, and instead of not having your palms of your hands facing each other anymore, to feel this ball of energy, and turn them straight up and hold a pyramid over that, you would find that the pyramid would amplify that kind of a tingling effect, even though your hands aren't facing each other anymore. They're going straight up. Because it's a life force. And if you were to take a piece of litmus paper and put it in acid or an alkaline solution and watch and monitor the change of it and put a pyramid over it, it would goes to a perfect pH of about 7.5. So the first thing you find out is this shape, this geometric shape, augments magnetic fields. Even though it could be made out of wood, it'll still do the same thing. It augments them, not by the metal. Now, in magnetism, big rule of physics is, hello, steel, magnets, you know, wire, that's where your magnetic field goes, but a piece of wood shaped like a pyramid will augment a magnetic field, not where you see it with a compass, but you'll see it in something like pH, potential hydrators, in some solution that's underneath it. You put milk inside of a pyramid, it turns into cheese. It doesn't get, you know, bacterial infections or bacterial destruction.
And the Egyptians knew this too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they knew it. They never found any bodies in pyramids, but all the embalming process, you know, they would drain the blood, put tannic acid in, which is a great preservative. Tannic acid, where the veins were, I mean, the veins and arteries now are full of that, put them in the pyramid for a few days, which would cause the body not to deteriorate anymore. And the Egyptians weren't trying to resurrect in their bodies. They were trying to give the value of life by preserving the form. Feels like they were trying to say, be here now, enjoy each moment. And only the kings and queens supposedly were embalmed like that, but of course the priests always snuck themselves in. That Maracena's pyramid in the Big Three over there, where the Great Pyramid is one built later by a priest.